Hello, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And you're welcome. This is the first of the week. Okay, so this is the week before the elections. And so it will affect part of our programming. And I'll tell you how, you know, part the subjects we'll choose. Today, we are going to talk about the Ikeja tragedy, okay, the railway and the bus. And I have Adenosi Patrick here with me. So we'll look at the issues that are worth looking at in that incident. Tomorrow, of course, we're going to have Dear Bumi. Fancy Nancy will be here. You know, she'll be here for Dear Bumi tomorrow. We are excited because Fancy Nancy is coming. And then on Thursday and Friday, we are going to be looking at the elections. We will be looking at, you know, we'll be educating ourselves on the issues that should make us cast our votes. We are not going to be running any campaign of person, but we will look at the issues, the various issues that you need to look at and think about before you cast your vote in the governorship elections. Okay, so that will be Thursday and Friday. We will try and see if we can get one or two of the we can't do that on Friday, but I think we can do that on Thursday. See if we can get one or two of the candidates just to ask them one or two questions. Okay, but a lot of it will be interactive, meaning that you'll also be able to call in. And that place won't be a place for campaign, please. Let's get that one very clear. It won't be for you to call in and start ranting about who will win or lose. Rather, it would be for you to call in for us to talk about the issues you need to think about. I mean, so the election really is about a renewed mandate, or a new mandate, as the case may be. And I think that you have about three or four forerunners in that regard. So that's what we're going to be looking at this week. And of course, on Saturday will be election coverage. And I'll be here, you know, we're going to have a whole day, but I'll be here from, I think, 7 to 10 or something like that. So we'll be having fun. Adenosi, how are you?
Very good. How are you today, sir?
Fine. This is something that was forwarded to me that I want to read out to you and also to you, Adenosi, to set you thinking. So I want you to sit back and listen. Now, you know, I'm not very good at reading. Thank God. I must tell you that I never studied anything radio. I stumbled on this by chance at the time I had retired. I've been a priestman all my life. So if I stumble and whatever, you permit me, okay? This is written from somebody who says that I am an Osho the boy true and true. Hence, this accident happened around me. Okay? It was around him. Let me tell you what you can also see before I move into technicalities. This train, you remember the train, passed Ikeja Station. Since it is a passenger train, one can assume that it stopped at the Ikeja Station to let passengers off and on. It then proceeded on its way, coming from Ikeja and facing Oshodi. It will have traveled less than 2 kilometers when it came to the level crossing. Okay? At the level crossing, it encountered the civil service bus. It hit the bus around the midsection and dragged it down the track until it stopped. Then he says, what could have happened? He goes on to say, the level crossing is a man crossing, meaning that an operative is always present to raise the red or green flag as necessary for the train to proceed or stop for a train. I have seen this many times and it's safe practice in sane climates. In fact, I think usually even, don't need to go talk about sane climates. I grew up into railways. I grew up in Yaba, so we're surrounded by railways. You'd always have some guard coming down that even humans cannot cross. And that happens way ahead. Sometimes you even get to grumble. Sometimes the train is still at Ido and they would have locked down Yaba for it to whisper. So it says, the track horizontal alignment is straight. Hence, the train driver can see miles ahead. Okay? No obstruction in sight, so what could have happened? He said, by act, the duty of care in the railway environment resides with the railway authority at all times, meaning they are in control of the environment. I don't know what they're doing about Yaba, but these are the things, these are the breaches that lead to this accident sometimes. because it starts with the attitude. And I usually say, if you don't take care of the little, if you take care of the little things, the bigger things will take care of them. If you are professional down the line, accidents like this could be avoided. Okay, it says the crossing should be operated with a physical barrier.
True.
With the, you agree? With a physical barrier. Okay, that is my professional view. Furthermore, the train driver should approach non-physical barrier crossing at extreme caution. Meaning the train should be said between 5 to 10 kilometers at most. If you are approaching the barrier, you should slow down and so on and so forth. At this speed, collision will almost be impossible as the train can brake in time, and if it happens, the impact is not significant. Definitely not dragging the bus down the track. So it says that what I am saying so far, train approach speed too high and the absence of physical barrier, all for the railway authority to deal with. What about the road traffic? The train will not and never approach the crossing unless signaled green. So, which means that the train would have gotten the signal red or green to proceed. All things being equal. Note that exception, which you can quiz me on later. Okay, so it says, go on to mean that the bus entered the track area when the signal was green. So the bus should have, that's his own view. It should never be the case if there was a physical barrier. He wouldn't have this. The layout of the area might be responsible for why the driver cannot judge the impending danger properly. I mean the bus driver. It was possible that he did not see the signal man and the train was still out of his sight. I am saying this based on the impact and the drag on. The train was traveling at a good speed would be my position. Why? The train could not stop in time and it dragged the bus along the track. Should the bus driver be more aware? Maybe yes, but I would not know if he was trying to get across quickly and then he got caught. When I am on this incident and others in the past, it is time that the safety regime of the contractor is looked at. I would like all that have access to the media outlets to stay on this very issue that I am about to raise here. Show me, I didn't see. Show you are listening.
I'm listening.
Let me hear now. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
I don't want to take my eye off the ball. No, I can't read well. If I take my eye off the ball, I'll probably jump a paragraph. So it says, we want to know the accident report regime of this contractor. How many have died, injured, etc. working or getting involved with this contractor. Who does he mean by contractor? Is it railway man?
It's not very clear, but my assumption is the driver of the maybe the driver of the BRT, because we don't have records.
Okay. I mean, how does their records in Nigeria compare to the records back home and the Western world?
Okay, it could be the construction company that built the train.
That built the rail track. On a high level, look at this incident. It is a very difficult position. The bridge at Ikeja along has to be completed. Okay, before they can close this level crossing. This presents the contractor with a position that is dreaded most in railway engineering. Okay, it brings in the concept of interim interface management. Interface management on its own is cumbersome, and the interim aspect takes it to another level. Money, as usual, is involved, and get value for money in this instance provides a difficult position. Should the contractor install a physical barrier which becomes redundant in a few months' time? Can a physical barrier work with the power issues? Well, we could do a manual barrier. Mm-hmm. We had manual barrier in the 60s. Yes. So what are the traffic implications? I guess you are beginning to see the difficulty the management faces at this location. So, that is one view that was sent to me. Mm-hmm. So I wonder. Let me read this other one. This is another view entirely. And it says that... my heart bleeds when we do things wrong. It's a forwarded mail. Yeah. It says, they are going to crucify that bus driver. Mm-hmm. But it is not really his fault. That's what he believes. That crossing must have been protected with a physical barrier. This stops the bus driver and takes the opportunity to try and be smart always. This is corporate failure. That is, the physical barrier would have stopped the driver anyway. And he says, even in developed countries where crossings are not protected, drivers start to steal time and cross in front of trains. This has led and is still leading to accidents. Most advanced countries are moving to create separated solutions to stop these types of accidents. As sad as it might sound, that bus driver did not act out of character. That choice to be able to break the rule should have been taken away from him with the barrier. They have someone to blame and crucify now, but it's a corporate crime. In the UK, where they will install half barriers, these drivers still try to maneuver through while trains are approaching. Needless to state that sometimes they get caught and the result is bad, loss of lives and so on. I'm saying this to bring a professional perspective to the popular position that the driver is culpable. But now that we found that the man, he was full of drugs and so on and so forth, it brings a twist to the tale. But he describes it as a corporate murder. And he says the authorities are responsible. So, I don't know, you are a traffic
even
expert.
Without the drug that is found in his system, the driver is culpable.
Why do you say so?
Number one, the bus driver cannot say he didn't see the train because the train is not...
And it's a straight line.
It's a straight line. The train is not a car key that...
Hypothetically, let's assume that he thought the train was far off and then he got stuck.
There were vehicles ahead of him, according to what we heard.
I see.
There were vehicles ahead of him. He pulled out. That is his regular route. He's not a stranger on that path.
What do you mean he pulled out? He pulled out of his lane.
He pulled out from the vehicles ahead of him and then overtook them. The passengers in the bus were shouting, "Please don't go, please don't go," part of what we read. Yet he went.
Wow.
The train is on its track. The first suggestion that says, "Oh, the train should have been able to stop." No, look, the load of the train, the weight that the locomotive engine is pulling, for the train to pull to a stop, the brakes would have been engaged gradually from about a mile. Even ordinary truck, a loaded truck, when the truck is moving, you cannot stop a truck like you will stop a car. So the driver is culpable. Agreed, yes, there should have been barriers. Yeah. There should be physical barrier. Beyond physical barrier, physical barriers are not installed in all rail crossing all over the world, not even in the US. All rail crossing in the US don't have physical barriers.
But do they have like traffic lights?
Yeah, they have lights. So that's where I'm going. Now there's a sign that tells you that is a rail track ahead of you, and also red light. By the time the train is getting close to where it's no longer safe to cross, you will hear the bell and then the red light, traffic light, red, will just be flashing all through until the train passes. Like I said a few days ago, even the most illiterate who cannot identify letter A as A or refer to it as A, if you show them a red piece of material, they will tell you danger. So if we had the flashing red light installed at that particular crossing and or all other crossings, then the potential of happening is reduced because now there is a physical warning that is telling him it is no longer safe to go.
But wait a minute. I didn't see. Wait a minute. There was already traffic, meaning the car at the very first car in front
had stopped yes,
to obey
because
that.
Because the flagger that was flagging. Now, in 2023, not in 1823, in 2023, it is a shame that Nigerian Railway Corporation is placing a physical human being at a crossing to stop traffic. With this 99.9% people that drive as if they leave their brains at home, our driving attitude is zero. So to now put a physical human being there to raise his flag to stop traffic is archaic, primitive, and should not even be heard of in 2023.
But wait a minute. I agree with you, but I'm also asking myself, for this particular driver, even if you put a red light, he wouldn't obey it.
Yeah, well, most time, like I said, the environment we are in, by the time you begin to see the red light flashing,
he will see that. Look,
the likelihood of it stopping.
I think that, given the fact that, first of all, government drivers have this nasty attitude.
They don't obey traffic.
They don't obey anything.
As I'm coming now on the Lekki corridor, yes, they were all driving one way.
They don't obey. Exactly. I mean, so in the first instance, our attitude, and I said that this morning at 7:30, our attitude to public transportation in this country, at least in this, country generally, is outright zero.
Minus zero.
Yes, we don't have the right corporate attitude to it. Why do you think, I was telling people last week, why do you think pilots are given uniforms to wear with the PIP and everything? It's to bring an air of responsibility.
That's right.
Onto the guy.
That's right.
You know, this guy apparently, either he was not well trained or he was not well evaluated. Two things. They said he had an earpiece on, possibly with loud Fuji music or whatever it is. And of course, the other side, of course, was indone correct. You know, this would call for a complete overhaul in our attitude towards public transportation. I don't know. When I was young, the people who ran public transportation were government and then well-structured companies.
And trade.
Charity Transport Service, Ohio Osunwan Transport Service, Oshinowo, Benson. You know, before I was born, or before the ships meet down here, there was Zapas. You know, it was run at the, and unless we go in that direction, have complete people who want to do, they can go and do other businesses apart from transport. But we need to put a premium on public transportation.
On the Lekki corridor this morning on my way down here.
Yes.
At the very least, 600 vehicles drove against the traffic.
No.
I'm telling you. 70% of them are commercial vehicles.
Yes.
With passengers on board.
On board.
And all of them excited that they are getting to their destination faster than us were in the traffic.
No, we definitely can't. Well, I don't know. This issue of my country is becoming overwhelming to me. The things that we see, and then the attitude of the people. Okay, so if you brought this out to the fore now, they'd be thinking that the poor man, where is he going to get tire from? Where is he going to get this thing from? What about the human lives he's carrying?
That's right. Well,
doesn't that have value?
Lagos State Government they had a conference some years back, and they invited a guest from Sweden. The lead speaker was from Sweden.
Yes.
And he said that the average life of a Swedish citizen was $3 million and was the monetary value of a Nigerian life. And all of us were looking, and I said, 50 for one naira.
Hey, Chineke. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, Adenusi, Patrick and I will be looking at the issue further. Of course, we'll take your contributions, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190, which is the line dedicated for females. It's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso on Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away, we'll be right back. Back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso, and I still have Adenusi Patrick. We are discussing the railway incident. Okay, let's take our first caller of the day. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Lucky Lola from Magu.
Okay. Oh, wait. How are you always the first person to call? I need to jam in.
If I tell you, other people will follow suit.
I'll call you privately. Let the jam. I don't know what's going on.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
See, Uncle Jimmy, it was reported in Punch newspaper that driver, you know, was using an earpiece while driving.
Yes.
to me, I don't like that idea at all. And most of our drivers are always, you know, fond of, you know, doing that. I remember a bike man, you know, was taking me to where I don't know, you know, driving carelessly. But not to pay any money. That is the truth. For him to stop. On this case now, my son was, you know, telling me the other day, Daddy, why didn't one or two passengers, you know, gave him, you know, a head knock for his headpiece while driving? We should take that, we should take it up and deal with that man. Why do we using headpiece while driving?
All right. Have a nice day. Calm down. Point noted.
Yeah, he might have an earpiece on, and that is just for that might just be for to answer his phone call, not that he's listening to music. Yeah, he can have the earpiece on. He might not be using it at that particular point in time.
This is a staff bus. I don't know.
Yeah, on the account that it is a staff bus, he's not entitled to pick any call while he's driving.
Exactly.
Because of the number of people he's moving. That is the safety policy of the company that he's that he works for.
Even some of us, I have a Bluetooth in my car, for example. But I keep my conversations very quick. You know, so I'm not touching anything. The button is already on my steering. These are things that are put in by the manufacturers of cars to make the cars more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, especially in a country like Nigeria, where anything can jump up in front of you, I think you probably
you need
to...
Full concentration.
Full concentration. More so if it's like a public vehicle.
Yeah, the safety culture should have made it that they cannot pick calls while they drive.
Sorry, I had to yawn there. I feel a bit tired. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Oga Jim.
Morning, Oga.
Good morning, sir. This is Don Dupre from Sagoyaba.
Yes.
My question is this. How do we stop this kind of thing? Our Lagos drivers, even our responsible ladies and gentlemen, driving their cars in the street of Lagos, using one hand to make calls or to answer calls, and using one hand to drive in the street of Lagos. This is so rampant, even as I'm talking to you. Even as I'm working outside, I'm in Queen Street, Sagoyaba, you understand? I'm seeing so many of them doing that. It's so common. How do we stop it? How do we stop? Why do government do something about it? That's my question. Thank you.
Do you see any capacity in the government to put some control in the transportation sector, which is very vital? I'm sorry I don't see it. I'll tell you why. A simple thing that I've been talking about for the past 3.5 years is still happening as of now. It's visible to everybody. On the Qatar Bridge that leads to Edo, you still find buses loaded with passengers coming on reverse. All the way down. We've been saying this thing over and over and over again. I see some reluctance on the part of the government to enforce laws. The only reason I can give is that you probably have a government that, quote and unquote, wants to be seen to be good to its citizens. This is like giving sugar to a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have a child who is diabetic. You keep buying him chocolate every day. I'm looking forward to a government that has a resolve, you know, to protect public safety. We haven't seen that in a while. All we've seen is playing to the gallery. The kind of public transportation system that we have and the policy that moves it is alarming. You know, what you see is make us feel good, we want the votes. Make us feel good, we want the votes. And like I said, it's like, even the citizens themselves are not demanding the best practice. They're ready to go in those very, very wretched buses that you dare not show up at a veterinary clinic with your dog in those vehicles in a sane country.
You go to jail.
But as public transportation that then has some parks and gardens and everybody running around like bees over the streets collecting and so on and so forth, we've gone back in time. That is why I say, it's part of what I say, is that I'm looking forward to somebody who wants to govern these states, and indeed the country, that is ready to do the needful, no matter whose ox is God. We saw a bit of that with Fatshola. I'm sorry to keep making the same example, but you can't run away from it. He took some decisions that were very unpopular at that time, but he benefited from it later. Like, for example, you remember this crazy idea we had of closing the roads for parties and doing anything in the environment? It was later given to his credit. So it's what we have is sad at the moment. And these are the kind of breaches that you will get. You know, you should be telling us, constant monitoring of your staff. In the first place, how could you recruit or have somebody who is on drugs? You know, maybe he just started, who knows? But yeah. I would have thought that a quarterly visit to the clinic would be mandatory for anybody, you know, driving public. I have a friend who works in public, and he would be able to, it's a pity. I'd see if I can drag him down here. And he tells her what.
If we go the route of checking for drugs in the commercial drivers set, 99.5% of them are. So if we take all of them out, what that means is
who will be left? But that's a dangerous thing, isn't it?
And that's one of the challenge with the government. I mean, I've worked closely with them time and again. We have told them and advised severally that, look, these bosses are not roadworthy. We should take them and crush them. Then, just like you said, it is, if that is done, what would they be eating? Oh, you know, for now, they are still rendering services. Those bosses that, apart from the BRT bosses, the normal downfall bus, they are death traps.
Death traps.
The slightest crash, the human bodies, they are wrestling with the hard ions inside the buses. But unlike the BRT, it is purposely built. Now, one other thing, Lagos State government has done well. They have this institute called Lagos State Drivers Institute.
Yes.
Question I asked someone yesterday is, does the BRT management bring their drivers to Lagos State Drivers Institute for training? And the answer was no. Because the Lagos State Drivers Institute, they have structured programs for commercial drivers, not just the general surface one. And that is, look, in terms of policy, laws and all of that, we have all of them, but we are not implementing. Nigeria Railway Corporation says they don't have money to fix barriers and those traffic lights at the level crossings.
Well, I think that in that sense, I'm glad you raised the issue of the Drivers Institute. But where all of us are now complicit is in, for example, how do people even get their licenses in the first instance? It's compromised. So if the process of getting the license is compromised, you can imagine what you'll be having at the institute. So what we have agreed on now is that there are enough laws and whatever. So why not make examples? This is where you must see enforcement. It's not for you to have all these guidelines. It's enforcement on the breaches. Where you have breaches of this to enforce and make examples of people that will make everybody sit up. To the credit of Lagos, one time they had this traffic light with cameras, you know, that will catch you if you beat the cameras and so on and so forth. People sat up now.
Yes, they did.
You see, governance is intense. It's not a tea party. It's not show business. It is intense. You have to be on top of the job, and you must be ready to be a nasty guy. Once you are principled, at the end of the day, people will see. People will see. And there are so many laws that have been put in place that, quote and unquote, make citizens uncomfortable. But they have also seen, like, the issue of the noise levels. Thank God now that seems to be under some relative control, even though it can still be tidied up. But La Sepa had been up and doing, in that regard. Why we say this is this, and it's apart from the risk that those public transport, the downfalls are to themselves, they also risk to other road users.
That's right.
One of my
neighbor's son was killed on this Lekki-Epe Expressway by a drunk driver, downfall driver, who refused to stop. twins, killed one of them. He was on drug.
The driver?
Yes. You know, it's sad. It's sad that, like I said earlier, the value of life in Nigeria is very cheap. Government, in this country, we have ISPON, Institute of Safety Professionals of Nigeria. Government don't consult them. They don't even talk to them. If they write to government, rarely do they respond. These are experts in that field. They are safety practitioners. Now, this incident has happened. The government will want to set up an investigative team. They will put civil servants there. I was part of one. I was privileged to be part of one during the Ambode regime, the truck that fell from Ojo-Legba Bridge. The committee he set up didn't go to the scene. They wrote their report. And I insisted, no, we have to get to the scene. Now, this incident in question, the committee that is set up, is there any representative of Institute of Safety Professionals there? So those are the safety experts who can actually take a look at, okay, this 1, 2, 3, 4, and they put it in their recommendations. The driver must be prosecuted. If the government does not prosecute that BRT driver, whether there is drug in his system or no drug is found in his system, that driver was not only just reckless, he deliberately killed the people. He should be prosecuted. Outside Nigeria, investigations are done and sanctions. Even when the driver is dead, the driver is yet sanctioned, but he's not there to serve the term. He's sanctioned. But here we rarely investigate. Even if we do, we don't put the right people there to do the investigation, and they come up with various sentiments. When we went to Ojo-Legba, the container that fell. If government says any truck should not drive over Ojo-Legba flyover, then they must be able to get all the buses that have converted Ojo-Legba down to permanent bus stops. One lane is just for movement. The second lane is bus stop.
Okay, we do have another caller coming in. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
My name is Ayo. I'm calling from Itaniki.
Yes.
Sir, I want to call your attention to something. I try as much as possible to think through that scenario. Check the incident. I realized that on the day of the accident, he was reported to have been in police custody. Does he not deserve to be in the hospital first before police custody? Because
who are you saying?
The driver.
No,
the driver.
Oh,
the driver.
The driver was
reported to be in police custody on the day of the accident. Even if he had escaped on. He must have gone through some psychological trauma that is enough for him to be examined first. Then secondly, those of us here in Ijanik not being rated as fellow Lagosians, because we have a very terrible accident here in Yanera since Friday last week. It has never been reported in any news, not even newspaper. Accident that is still blocking the road till this moment. Agbero stoned a driver in his high, a trailer driver in his high, and fell because of the activities of the Agbero at Yanera. The glass loaded on that trailer is still on the road with the truck till now as I'm talking.
Okay.
This is not in the news. Are we not as important as the one happened in the Ikeja?
Okay.
Are we in the Ikeja better than not?
Okay, point noted. I mean, I hope people will not start asking for equal share of tragedies. God forbid. But putting the issue of Agbero there, it's I don't think we can comment on it anymore because it's
I
don't know. They are lords of the land.
They are the extension of government.
They are the extension of government.
Across the country.
Lords of the manor. The symbolism of the romance. Between the top guys in government and the Agbero's head and so on and so forth, the symbolism of it has defeated the people. The people almost believe that they are government. They almost like and the gentlemen themselves are not handling it in a matured manner. They seem to enjoy all the attention that goes with it.
This last caller raised a point, which is actually very valid.
Yes.
Now, when and after that crash,
yes,
the driver, even if he's to be arrested, he's taken to the hospital so that he will not run away. We either have a guard there or he's handcuffed.
I think that, can I have the point? Let me see. I think it says something to the effect that he might still.
I think the initial report was that the driver ran
away. Well, he was arrested. You could be arrested and be in hospital. After all, as you are taking beans, you can be in hospital. The story says that the outcome of the toxicology test conducted on the driver of the Lagos State Government staff bus involved in the car train that claimed six lives has revealed traces of drugs in his blood and urine. Right? It will be recalled that the test was carried out last week as part of an investigation into which the 44-year-old driver, Oluwaseun Osinbajo, was blamed for the accident. Sources at Lasuth, where the test was conducted, told Vanguard that the result would be taken to the police. They talked about the toxicology. To answer your question and that of that gentleman, at press time, Osinbajo was still in the intensive care unit of the Federal Medical Center, Butimeta. He was yet to come to consciousness, according to his relative. So when did he apologize? Because somebody said he apologized. So when did he apologize?
So we read
then the relative, a female, Obrinia, who gave her name as Saliat, said, "Nobody is allowed to go into the ICU, not even his wife, since he was operated on last Saturday." So you could be arrested and be in hospital.
That's right.
They handcuff
him
to the bed.
They handcuff him to the bed.
Yes, to the bed.
They can't put a physical police man by his side.
They lead you there and back. It says, but for the intervention of some officers of the NSCDC, my brother would have been lynched last Thursday. That is the Osinbajo man. They took him to the hospital inside the railway compound where he was given some medication. Thereafter, he was taken to the railway police command. That same day, the police took him to Lasuth. So that answers your question.
Yes, I mean, he couldn't have been locked up in the police station.
No. Yes. He says that he first of all went to Yaba Medical Center, and from there, the police took him to Lasuth. By the way, like I said this morning, we'd like to... you might wonder why I keep saying this, but I think we've gotten to a position in our country where those of us who are very, very critical have to say certain truths at certain times, if anything, to bring things into balance. When people are doing their jobs, they should be credited for it, given our own society. I was going to thank the Commissioner for Health.
And they
did quite well.
Yeah, the medical side. Lagos State Government is the first in the country that built a trauma center purposely for...
Where is the trauma center?
Oto Gate.
Oh, okay.
Purposely to cater for accident victims.
That means that the Lasuth people must have... I think we might need to talk to Professor Fabanwu at some point on the medical facilities or even the commissioner.
The United Nations standard for a decade of action, Lagos State Government met all of them.
And it's functional.
They are all functional.
That's good.
You know, but it is just implementation. For example, December 7, 2021... A truck killed two students of Ojudu Grammar School and injured 12. Today is 14th March 2023. Nothing was done at that particular point, that particular location. No speed bomb. Nothing was done in that place till now as we speak.
Okay, so like I was saying, the professor of he took us through COVID. To give him that credit, let me do a small thank you for him. At least I can add that to the achievements of this government against the election on Saturday. Okay, 9:50. We have just about 2-3 minutes to go. I can only take one more caller, and then we get out of here. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I want to talk. This is Cecilia calling from Songosa.
Yes.
There was a day I was passing through Agbado Crossing.
Yes.
So there were this group of boys. I was driving. They were flagging me down. And I discovered at that place, those boys used to stop somebody. So I didn't know that it was a train that was coming. I have to move just to pass them. People were shouting, and thank God I just crossed. Do you understand? I didn't see anybody putting any red flag. I didn't see. It was just those Agboros there. You understand? Then another day I was passing through that place again. There was this guy. He put on his AC. He put on earpiece. And the train was just passing. I was the one shouting for him, shouting. And some people have to be hitting at his vehicle. I now asked him when he passed. I now asked him, what happened? He said he didn't even hear. So some of these things, government should try and put a barricade when the train is coming. Because some people, they are caught unawares. Yeah, I see that guy in that bus, maybe because of the earpiece he put on, maybe he's playing music, he didn't even hear. And maybe when he left the people that were in front of him, there was an entrance that he could not even see the person that put the red flag.
Okay,
so that's what I think that happened.
No, we should be using an earpiece, but I don't think that's the issue. The issue number one is that he even pulled out.
Yeah, he pulled out from the
so they had
the
stuff.
He could see the train.
And as a driver, earpiece or not, you must look, like they say, left and right. And also, you must use your mirror properly so you can see your blind. You know, there's a
blind spot.
But the problem is that close to 80% of the drivers who have licenses are not licensed. They're not licensable.
The near miss that this woman just reported now.
Yes.
That is it, she would have been killed. This other guy could have been killed. So my appeal today will be to the Nigerian Railway Corporation that they should improve the safety around all the crossings. It's not just in Lagos alone. It's across the country where there are crossings.
But you know what the irony is? That I grew up in this state.
We saw barriers.
Yes,
there were barriers.
Before they were physical, yes.
Before the train gets there, there is a bell that rings, so it alerts everybody that is around that the train is approaching, and so the barrier begins to come down. Today, what is applicable among the best practices in the world is that as the alarm begins to ring, the barrier is coming down, and the traffic light, red, is flashing all through until the train has completely gone.
But then again, for as long as you have irresponsible drivers who don't put safety first, you'll have this because there is one operative thing in this case. He pulled out.
Yeah, he pulled out. He was reckless.
So they had already been stopped.
The people inside the bus were shouting, please don't go.
Don't go.
He still went.
He
still went.
So it will now go back to the issue of drugs.
That's why he must be prosecuted.
Oh, he will be. I mean, he'll be prosecuted. I think the lowest charge he might get is manslaughter. I mean, people died.
Nigeria Railway Corporation now, who has refused to do anything in improving those safe areas, the crossing. Before we go,
are we likely to get a report on this accident?
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Okay, we got to go. I don't see. This Hopefully. Thing is not friendly at all.
Hopefully.
This engine will come up.
Hopefully.
Okay, so I'll see you all tomorrow at 9 with Diabumi with Fancy Nancy. See you tomorrow.